Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Grateful for everyone who has followed us over the last 7 years now, and for those of you who most recently followed us and who continue to follow us. Whether you're following us on the live stream, our post on Facebook, or you're keeping up with us on the Blog Talk Radio platform through BFC Institute, we're grateful. We're grateful for you. And we welcome you tonight on this August 8th, 2023. Got an interesting topic for you tonight. And I promised a caller from last week that we would engage here in this particular topic, and we shall do so. I believe we have him parked in the studio here out of Peoria, Illinois. Great city. Great city. Great people come from there. I think you hear some of that this evening. But we have a very, 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 very interesting topic, and I realize that this may stir some emotions, right? As they say, trigger some people. I hope it's trigger us into proactive thought and action. That's my hope. That's my desire and my goal for it. We're talking tonight, and I do have a monologue, so bear with me. Give me a minute to go through our monologue, about 10 minutes to get through our monologue. That gives you the background, the context for what we're talking about tonight, okay? And it helps us to have a free flow of clear thought that everyone listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, you can understand where the host is coming from, our guests are coming from, and together we can put that together. In the streets, they call it chopping it up. I understand what I'm trying to say. Some of y'all know what I mean, but if you don't, that simply means to put the dialogue together, all right? Okay, so we're talking about the 13th Amendment in the urban American ghetto. 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution ended the formal practice of slavery in America. It also left a loophole for trapping individuals into involuntary servitude. I want you to pay note to that word trapping. Now, consider tonight, beloved, that throughout urban America, there is an invisible line. You can't see it. It's there, though. The free from the unfree. I submit to you tonight that line is called the ghetto line. Join me, 563-999-3617. Again, that number to call is 563-999-3617. give us a holler. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. We did send some shout-outs to a few people and ask them if they can join us. We shall see if they will and if they can. If not, I'm here, and my good brother out of Peoria, Illinois, is here as well, parked right there in the studio. I know he's fired up and ready to go. All right, with that, without further ado, let's get right into this monologue so we can open up the phone lines here. All right, again, tonight we are, this August 8th, 2023, we're speaking from the topic, the 13th Amendment and the Urban American Ghetto. All right, I want to give you what the Word of God says about being free. Character we know and call Jesus said this, and it was recorded in the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. And let's, for our sake of our context, our conversation, let's look at verses 37 and 38. All right? John 8 and 38 says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word, my Lord, has no place in you. Help me. I got to keep going. We're going to get into it. My word has no place. You say you Abraham's seed, right? But you want to kill me. Because my word has no place in you. Verse 38 says very simply, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do which have seen with your father. Okay, all right. And whom the Son, this is verse 36, is free indeed. And whom the Son has set free is free, help me, Holy Ghost, indeed. Now, let me do this for clarity's sake, okay, so you can understand where I'm coming from. Let me define a few things here. Let me talk about what the 13th Amendment said. Let's quote it, all right? It's in the Constitution. You can find copies all over the place. There are people who are handing them out at schools. And the 13th Amendment that was ratified on December 18, 1865, said this, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, watch this, watch what it says, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to its jurisdiction. Watch this. You can't lock a man up and domesticate him and force him into a certain environment except under the condition that he has been convicted crime and therefore he's punished and made to work against his own will. Lord Jesus, we're going to get into it tonight. Okay. What is a ghetto then, doctor? What is a ghetto? How are you defining ghetto? We got the 13th Amendment lockdown. How are you defining ghetto? Watch this. A ghetto is a part of a city. Okay, you know this city is funded by taxpayer dollars. You expect them to work for all of its citizens. Let me not get lost. Let me not digress too much. But a ghetto is a part of that city in which members of a minority, a small group of people, they live there. Why do they live there? Social, legal, environmental, and economic conditions. Ghettos are often known for being more impoverished than other areas in the city, in the state, in the nation. That's why we made reference to urban American ghettos. So you'll be clear where I'm talking about. Now, that's not to offend anybody. I come from, born and raised in an urban American ghetto. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now, what is condition? How do you define? Over the last 7 years, and we've had people on with us, and I have defined or coined the phrase ghetto trap syndrome, or GTS, ghetto trap syndrome. What is ghetto trap syndrome, doctor? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's a social condition social condition, and by that I say it can be reversed. Uh-oh, if you're sick, you can be made healed. Help me, Holy Ghost. But ghetto trap syndrome is a social condition that stems from habitating in an environment where there is chronic violence, economic despair, and even poor health cause people to feel like. In order for them to survive, they got to kill the next man, kill or be killed. That's the only way we can live, is to be at the ready against your neighbor. Ghetto trap syndrome is real in the ghetto. And I want to emphasize some words here. I talked about trapping. And when we look at the ghetto, there are conditions that trap people. Sometimes it is an unconscious condition that exists. People are not fully aware, but they exist. In the 13th Amendment, interestingly enough, they use certain phrases. Involuntary servitude, except for punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. A crime. What is a crime? A crime is anything defined by the state and its legislatures that represent the will of all those people in that state. And I would argue with you tonight that quite often certain social behaviors and conditions that lead to certain actions or behaviors or outcomes. What do you mean, Dr. Be specific. That causes a young brother to feel like I got to go out and slang and bang to make a living, to eat for myself. I got to exploit my own sisters, prostitute them, in order for me to make it, or prostitute myself. That's what I'm talking about. These conditions that cause an individual to commit a crime, cross that line between the free and the unfree. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. 563-999-3617. What's the number again to call as we open up the phone line? That number is 563-999-3617. We're ready, and let's get it on. Come on. Brother Lou, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Man, I'm better now to hear your voice. Talk to me, man. Help me. Did you hear any of the monologue? Did you hear any of the monologue?
Yeah, I caught it all, man. I've been excited about this conversation all week, man, since we spoke last week. Touching, and it's surreal, and to think that this is the America we live in, and this is, you said, it was rectified in December of 1865, and it's 2023, almost September of 2023. Well, not almost September, but let's say mid.
Well, you want something. I hear you. Yes, sir, I hear you.
But, I mean, think about the just the arrests. If we just think about how many people have been incarcerated, just the level of incarceration, how it went since then to now. I mean, you got to think, this is the 1800s where the good old boys, the wild cowboys, was on horses, robbing and stealing everything, moving in America.
Say what?
But they found a way from 1865 to 2023 to probably lock up 10 times as many black men as slaves live.
Okay. And tell me how is it that was justified legally?
It's the 13th Amendment, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
When you if you break a crime, if you commit a crime in these states, it's up to the law. Well, you know, your officials, your wardens, whatever. When you become a warden of the state, the judge, which is an elected official that doesn't represent us. But for the most part, not all of them, because you can't put every apple in the same bunch.
Lou, before you leave tonight, we got to leave our listening audience with some hope here. We can't just depress them and then dump all this on them without leaving them answers, okay? So if it's just you and me, we got to make sure we drop them some hot, man, in terms of hope, help. Can you help me with
and
that?
This is how we get there. We got to understand. We got to understand what's wrong that they even come to us right. You can't skip over something that happened and act like it didn't before you get to a solution. You know, so what we talking
Amen.
About is the rectification that never happened. They rectified the law to just include to make sure that they were able to get their slaves back. But what they didn't do was rectify the people that slavery hurt. That slavery continues to hurt, and that's still incarcerated based on the transition of slavery. It wasn't ever nullified. It was never ended. It was transition. It became more of a let's not get one bull, let's get them all situation.
Well, now, may I give some background historically on what was really driving this ratification of this 13th Amendment, okay, in 1863. And the truth of the matter is there was at least three different interests involved in the zeitgeist of that age. That was the interest of the Democratic Party, right, largely the South at the time, and the Republican Party, largely the North or East, Northeast, at the time. Then that was the interest represented through Frederick Douglass, an abolitionist of slavery, who spoke for as a former slave in the interest of freeing all slaves. Okay, the thing was that if you take this harness away from the round of the neck of the Negro and give him his human rights, free him and give him the same privileges and human rights as everyone else that is a citizen in the U.S., that they will be able to thrive and they won't be a problem, we can get along. And then we won't have this fight over slavery no more. Because, you know, the problem was slavery really, the fight really started 1857 or 1858 with the Dred Scott decision. And it kept brewing, right? And then it kicked off in 1861, and Lincoln decided, you know what, I'm going to cripple the South by taking their money from them, their slaves. I'm going to free everybody in the South under slave states. They free now. People didn't understand it. They were playing games with them. And it wasn't because history will reveal that it wasn't because Lincoln loved the Negro.
Not at all. I'm glad you said that.
It was strategically, it was politically and strategically beneficial to him, though. You see what I mean?
You know, now, Lincoln made a speech. He made a speech that stated that if he had it his way, he would do neither.
That's right.
He would free him or keep him enslaved. We can't have a divided democracy. You can't have free enterprise, free labor in the South, and then up North the laborers you got to pay wages.
Well, now that's true. That's true, Lou. Because what was happening up North is that they were entering or edging toward the industrial revolution of the early 1900s. See, back in 1865, and the North was trying to prepare for being able to keep up with the rest of the world in terms of this industry, machines and things of that nature. Where they had them in Europe and other places, steamboats and what have you, and machinery. But the South said, no, we make our money off the backs of these human beings we demean as animals.
Right.
That's how we make our money. And that's how we want to keep it. And we want to protect that economic interest with the Constitution and edicts from the Congress.
Call it what they call it, a sacred institution.
Listen, man, come on. Why are they playing? Well, now, watch this. We're looking at history now, and we're unfolding it. 160 years ago, Lewis, what Frederick Douglass put on the floor to Lincoln, and he pressured Lincoln to say, if you're real about this thing, here's how it's got to be. In fact, Frederick Douglass invited with John Brown and his party to go kill up white folks in the South, slave owners. Douglass said, man, you crazy. You're going to get both of us killed. I ain't crazy, man. I know if they kill you once, they'll kill me three times because I'm a black man.
Right.
Douglass said, look here, there's a better way we can do this, And the way we do this is we fight in Congress to pass some sort of legislation, which became the 13th Amendment. You see what I mean? Now, the problem is that of those three interests, Lewis, everybody had their own idea, but Douglas can do it by himself because what he could not see even after he died is that the same people that were in these positions didn't have a pure heart toward this in the first place. And so since largely the Negro, black, colored folk were not prepared collectively, right, to adequately be represented halls of government and making policies that are shaped 160 years ago to now in 2023, you got some Negroes, you know. Farrakhan said it like this. He said, I won't say that for everybody, but I've been voting and I've been participating in the political arena for a long time. There's a lot of truth to that. Because they're the ones.
Hey, it's like the preacher. It's like the preacher that don't ever put a doorknob on the church.
I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. You see, and we're, this is constructive criticism we offer tonight. Because in 2023, moving beyond, guess what? We need people that we will vote for and that we will support to hold these public offices that make these kind of policies that are not going to bite the bullet or not going to pull back from doing what is needed. See, you got young brothers right now in the ghetto don't know what makes them get up in the morning, Lewis, and have the appetite for a certain drink or a certain sandwich.
Right.
What makes them want to wear certain
a program.
Items.
I mean, so we can speed up. Let's come to today. I'm glad you made that point
on,
because right now, based on the decisions that was made in our past, there's, like you said, a young man somewhere in the ghetto. Could be me. I'm not drinking at this point in time. I just got off work. But it could have been. Still could be. And tomorrow could be a new day for anybody. And that's my whole point. He's still sitting there, and like you said, he's wondering why he even got up this morning and nothing else for him to do. I mean, the society that he grew up in, the society that he lived in has never given him anything that he could deem as a resource or a tool to actually lean into the right way, even though you say, well, it's out there. All you got to do is want to go get it.
You got to go get it.
You
got to
know how to go get it.
Right.
You gotta have the ability to go get it. You gotta have the drive to go get it. You gotta have the substance to go get it, and you gotta be motivated. And when
check
you down and out, these are some things that's hard to come by.
Can I say this? You know what? I'm most desperate, and I met Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, back in 2003. I was introduced to him by James Luther Bevel over there on the southeast side of Chicago, okay, and got a chance to briefly speak with him. It wasn't like we were close enough, but I was introduced when he was for state office around there. Why am I
this man going to president?
Oh, he did become president. And why am I saying that? I'm saying that, beloved, because if I could see him today in the next 5 minutes, I'd say, bruh, that's how they say it today, bruh. Go to Chicago, man. There's some young shutters over there in the ghetto, in Detroit, in New York, in Compton, California, in Liberty City, Florida, New Orleans.
In Peoria, Illinois.
In Peoria. Come on, man. Nashville, Tennessee, doggone it. Look, but Chicago is
on
the map.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It ain't just big cities. This black line, ghetto line, is every city got a south side. And
that's
no south side looks that good.
Well, go there, man, and just walk the streets. Them folk love you in Chicago. No, they did anyway. Just walk the streets.
Right.
Say, hey, all you little shorties, come here. Huh? Can you imagine what would happen if he did that? Them little children that took over downtown and looted that 7-Eleven. Just imagine if Barack Obama stood on top of a car with a bullet. How you little son? Sit, come here. What do you think would happen
right.
to us?
I think they'll listen like the world did when he was elected.
You understand what I'm saying? That's what
but
I want
to do. That would be great. But what's
listen.
The odds of that? Jay-Z and Beyonce before her concert, and you got to give them this. I mean, they said a lot of stuff in the press about them, but I will give them this. Closest thing that they got is a Kanye West or a Jay-Z to a Barack Obama, and they was just there last, like, a week or two ago. And they gave out money to black business owners, $100,000 to each, on the south side of Chicago, to help incubate businesses. And I thought that was dope.
That's
and they
good.
Got out there and met with the people and
yeah, talked
to the people.
That's a good thing.
2 weeks before that, KRS-One was in Chicago speaking
what?
To the kids on the south side. So I think it's people that's starting to recognize that, and I think that they're growing into it. They understand that really these people made you, and these same people can break you, but people got to realize their power too and their strength. It's bigger than social media. It's like it's more impactful when we touch hands, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, let me personally stop and give shout out and homage to those people that are doing those type of things. Because I happen to know, I went to St. Louis and I did some work there in St. Louis, and we had a brother on who helped rebuild Ground Zero from 2015
wow.
when Michael Brown was here, right? That store, the convenience store that was burnt down, Urban League Center there. And Brother Stevens was on with us a few years ago. And my wife went with me. We went and visited and what have you, walked around, because St. Louis was one of our target cities when we first started this 7 years ago, the series. Long story short, there are people, Louis, to your point, doing some good things, but the media don't talk about it. Now, I bet you that'll make news if Barack hooked up with Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, who else? Who else, man? Give me some other names. All these cats form a group.
It's a lot of people. Hey, if Barack Obama hooked up with John Henry that stay on 57th and whatever, or 71st and so-and-so, just hook up with an average typical man and see what their needs are. And then that's how you start, because I guarantee you that one regular man is at least 2 million men that he represent that is going through the same things he's going through. So if you meet 100 of those kind of people, you can start seeing where it's at, man.
But now, let's see. You said something that was powerful. You said you can't see it happen. I'm paraphrasing you. And I'm not sure it will, and I can't make those people do it. But guess who has the power in 2023 to erase the ghetto line? See, the ghetto line is where you're afraid to cross. You're afraid to do certain things out of fear that I might get in trouble, and that trouble might lead me to going to jail, losing my freedoms. How do we fix that?
Right.
Education is key to that. Education is key to that. See, and I'm not just talking about getting no rinky-dink stuff being warehoused in a school, public or private.
Right.
I'm talking about our people truly finding the curriculum that's going to first tell young folks, particularly young black males, you're important. Second,
right.
You have innate power. The world belongs to you. Huh? That's
yes.
why you shouldn't run around acting like an imbecile and a wild animal, because of all those things. You're important, you have innate power, and the world is yours. It's up to you to care for it and to make it what it needs to be. In the ghetto.
It's up to him to find that in himself. Every man got to find that for himself. That's the thing about this, too, is that as bad as society is and as much as we do want to blame the 13th Amendment and everything else that followed from, I mean, we can call the Voting Rights Act great and everything else that we did. All the marches is great. But when it comes
right.
to growth, we didn't grow any. So they was like, you know, appeasing us with these words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
now what we got to do is appease them with our actions. So, I mean, you got to make sure that your sons know it starts with the father, even though
wow.
a lot of fathers were taken out of their kids' lives. But still, if you're still around, if you're not dead or in jail, or even if you is in jail, just reconnect and try to redevelop that connection. Because that's where it starts if you are a father. If you don't have one, you got a father figure, get close to him. if you're a male seeking a change and you're looking out trying to find out a better way, look at your influences around you, the men around you that's actually doing positive things with their life. It is a way to change, but you got to recognize within yourself the destruction that you cause and see not only yourself but the people around you. It's a communal thing. So if we all destructive and self-destructive, we in a chaotic, toxic world that's a war zone, because you never know who going to what ticking time bomb finna blow this time. You know, so when you're in these communities, which is ghettos, they done created a war zone on purpose, a psychological war zone with these ticking time bombs being young black men. At any moment he can explode and we're going to lock him back up. We'll get rid of them for you. The mothers feel safer with them in jail than at home. And that's a scary thing. I mean, that they condition.
I'm going to offer something that has been offered before. And the reason I'm offering this again is because nobody's acted on it. And that's been at least 7 to 10 years ago that I offered this thought. Now, you could say, well, why don't you do it? Heaven knows I've been doing the best I can. This show is an example of that, right? And our goal is to impregnate people with thought that will lead to action, manifest action. Okay, watch this, Louis. Watch this. Here's the hope. Here go the hope right here. I don't care if you white, black, or yellow, or the other. Here's the hope right here. Now, we have real estate in the ghetto, and that real estate happens to be owned by black churches or religious groups. 5 days of the week in any one of these cities, right there in Peoria, you can drive up and down and at least 10 to 16 hours of the day is locked up and closed. There's no action there, no activity, and certainly none for young wayward people who don't know what to do with themselves when they get up in the morning. There's no structure.
Why wouldn't that be a community center during a Monday through Wednesday, Thursday kind of deal? Why not be a community center? If you got a basketball gym, let the boys play basketball, start a youth league or something.
Okay.
Why not? It's a lot of ideas that never get taken in.
Hold on. That's true. Some places are trying to do that, but here's the problem. At the community center, many of them get kicked out of the community center because of their behavior. Nobody wants to tolerate the behavior. Well, if they have nothing to lose, why shouldn't they throw a rock or a brick or shoot in that community center where everybody else is having fun and they got kicked out? It's the same thing like you can't make it on the football team or the basketball team because only so many people can be on the roster and so many can start at the time. The rest of y'all just got to go. Where you going to go? To them streets.
I mean, the system overwhelmed. Think about the resources. There's not no resources. There's no resources. The teachers are tired of the kids. The principals are tired of the teachers complaining about kids. There's no guidance counselors. Nobody wants to go back into education and invest in education because of the way that it's all set up. I mean, if you look at, like, they got this thing on Facebook right now. You look at classrooms from 100 years ago and classrooms today, they look identical almost. I mean, a few upgrades and things like that, but it's never really transitioned into a new way of thinking. It's not a. It's like a one size fit all shoe. Like taking an accountability that for the longest time, for generations, black people couldn't read. It was illegal to learn how to read, and even in the 60s, most people couldn't read. So their grandparents couldn't read. So they couldn't help people of like your age with the homework and the past. That's something that's passed down, education and knowledge. So people shame people for not having the dialect or the information or not knowing how to articulate or how to do this or how to do that. Look at the disadvantage of the societal problems we go through. Look at the past. The past is a key factor in any day because every day was yesterday. I mean, well, every day will be a yesterday tomorrow or today. Yesterday was a tomorrow one day. You know what I mean? So history still writing itself, man. It's, I mean, so it's never too late.
Okay.
But you
got
to
go back to
the past to get to the future.
Let me invite somebody that may be listening to us that may have a slightly different perception about this to give me a call. How can they call you, Doctor? If they want to come in and shut you down and get you right, 563-999-3617. Now, I'm going to give you, we still got about 30 minutes or so, I'm going to give you a reasonable amount of time to state your point. And I'm opening, I'm listening to hear what you have to say, see how I can apply that. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go to a little commercial break on the other side of this, Lou. But I want to, okay. to give people an opportunity to give me a call. I want to hear from you. If you listen to us, again, the number is 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. I mean, give me a call. Go ahead, Lou. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Oh, I'm open to all say? I did.
I'm gonna play the original commercial for this broadcast 7 years ago, and I didn't change it because it's still real today in 2023. All right, and then we're gonna. I want you to listen to a group that sang the old hymns from the Freedom Riders, okay? Called the Freedom Song. And this is what, they listen to the lyrics of what they were saying on the other end of this. But y'all bear with me. Let me go right quickly. And the number again, you listen to Talk Straight. The Talk Straight, this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker. We got Brother Lou on from Peoria, Illinois. And there's still time for you to join us. 563-999-3617. 13th Amendment in the urban American ghetto. Don't be offended by that. If that bothers you, I want you to call me. If that triggers you, I want you to call me. 563-999-3617. Our hope is to bring solutions and answers. Been going on for 160 years. All right? We'll be right back after this brief message.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, talking tonight from the topic, 13th Amendment, the urban American ghetto. It's real, beloved. It's real. There's hope, though, for the ghetto. I'm a product of an urban American ghetto. I'm qualified to talk about this. Give me a call, 563-999-3617. You hear me? Give us a holler. My brother out of Peoria, Illinois, is working this thing with me right now, and I love what my brother's saying because I believe he understands that if change is to be, it's up to us. Is that right, Brother Lewis?
Yeah.
Is that right, Brother
Lewis? Exactly.
We ain't waiting on no governor, no mayor, no president, none of that. It's up to us to change the conditions of the ghetto for the day. Go ahead, Lou. What were you going to say?
That's it. I mean, we can say it till we blue in the face, but unless we do something about it, nothing's going to happen. Nobody, no politician. We can vote every year for the next 100 years. We can march for the next 100 years. We can boot. We can riot. We can cry for the next 100 years. And police will still kill people. We'll still be getting locked up. We'll still be in ghettos. Even worse, some of us won't be here at all. Or our future generations won't be around, things like that, because they're making it so hard that it's on the brink now. So do we have time to not act? I don't think so.
We don't.
I think
we listen, man.
We got to do it now. Do something. Somebody has to do something.
It's been 160 years since the chains formally have been taken off legally. Of course, we had black codes that popped up after they ended slavery, right? It was struck down in 1868 with the 14th Amendment. I'm sorry. That addressed that. But then guess what popped his head up after that? Jim Crow. The Jim Crow era that went from arguably then into the 60s, right? And to your point, you know, I appreciate what the Civil Rights Movement did to go out and march and to demonstrate and to protest like they did. But I'm going to tell you something. The real protest now is in your action, changing the conditions in your home, and you're first in your heart and your mind, then in your own homes, in your own neighborhoods, in your own streets, your own blocks. That's a collective effort. Even if don't nobody else do it, you got to do that. Huh?
Right. But say it's only one block out of all these blocks, but then somebody going to see you working on your block, and that's going to inspire them to work on their block. So now it's two blocks, three blocks, and then 12 blocks, and then it's a whole side of a city. And now the whole other side, all the other sides watching. What's going on over there?
Yeah.
Look like they pulling it together.
Yeah.
And now the globe is watching, because that's how you spark change. It starts with one rock, and then a mountain fall, you know?
But you know what
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're saying something. Go ahead, finish your thought, big brother. I apologize for cutting you off.
No, I'm just saying that I don't think it's that hard to do. I think it just takes somebody to start doing the right way. I mean, the real way to do, like you just said, the grassroots way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cleaning
and here's the truth.
Cleaning out your life.
Watch this, Lewis. It may be the case that if all you got is two raggedy shoes and old underwear that you got to keep rinsing out every day, to get up and to go find the information. I didn't say you had it already. I said go find it. Look for it. Find the information that will empower you to do better. If it ain't nothing else, but go figure out where can I go find some tools that can wash somebody's window. Huh?
Man, it's out here.
Come on
when
now.
You got nothing else, you got nothing else. What do you got to lose anyway? You got nothing else.
Nothing.
You don't have anything to lose. You can only gain.
Let me go back to Barack Obama. Let me go back to Barack Obama. Here's a good thing that he done. I'm going to tell you something good he does. And that's why I say, Lou, if I could catch that, brother, look, come here, man, let me holler at you. You all out here in Canada, man. Listen, let me tell you what you need. Here's what will help you. Yeah, but check this out.
Don't give me that.
His brother did two good things when he was in office. But he backed up. He backed up. You understand? One of the things he did was he came up with a program, an initiative. What was the name of that? Where basically it reached out to young men and established national mentorship. I've seen where some groups, splinter groups, have done that. They got money, and they've been doing that. But guess what? Guess where it's not going? It's not going to the heart of the ghetto where those little knuckleheads are carrying those nines. Huh? And carrying those Uzis. That's where you need to
They go. Don't have the resources. It's not in the budget. We got to cut the budget.
Big brother.
Man,
big
they
brother.
Have money all for dare. They have money for drugs. They have money for the world. They have money for the police.
Look,
let me tell you something.
You don't need money for a big name person. I'm gonna give you an example of it. The other week in New York, some guy that's on YouTube, an influencer, promised people that if they came out in large numbers in New York, they were gonna get PlayStations. I think it was.
Okay? Yeah, that was a couple days ago. He got arrested.
Watch the mentality. Watch the mentality. It was just the promise of getting some you didn't have that brought them out in large numbers. Just imagine if a savior came with three fish and five loaves, Lord have mercy, to the ghetto. Come on now. And promise them to come out and meet me there. And you see, it calls an action, though. It's about what you're doing. You don't necessarily need a whole lot of money because people are hungry already. But what they don't want you to do is come with games.
You got to see this, what they was promising. He was promising them a PlayStation 5. He could never have foreseen 8,000 people showing up to his spot with more on the way.
Look,
man got 8,000 PS5s to give away.
You understand what I'm saying? And the one that got
you gotta think of the mentality of the individual.
Yeah,
not one
absolutely.
Of those 8,000 people thought it was gonna be 8,000 people there when they got there. Or they probably wouldn't have went.
So everybody was thinking,
I'm gonna give me one. I can't win if I don't try. It was an opportunity. So people drove near and far to get that thing. It was nothing for nobody. It was just a lot of pandemonium and outrage.
So can I tell you, that wasn't the first time that happened. I would argue that that happened back in 1995 with the Million Man March. Louis Farrakhan, Ben Chaper, and James Luther Bevel put their heads together and organized the Million Man March. And they placated off of the hurt, the pain, and the hunger to get all those brothers out to Washington, D.C. at one time. Now, it's a shame that here we are in 2023, and many of those cats are still living paycheck to paycheck. If they got a job, if they're alive at all. Are you with me? Now, I'm not knocking those brothers.
Well, who got enriched by that? Who got enriched
by
that? Out of all the people. Washington, D.C. did, for sure.
The
organizers got rich. Washington, D.C. got a big influx.
Right. Watch what I'm saying. At the end of the day, the hand that somebody made money off of your emotion, off of triggering your emotion.
You had to pay for that trip to get all the way out there. You had to eat while you were there. You had to stay somewhere while you was there.
Look,
while you was there. You traveling around looking at monuments while you there.
My brother went down there, right? But my dad, I was working for the Department of Corrections for the state of Tennessee at the time. And my father said to me, you're not going with the brothers to D.C.? I said, no, Dad, I got a young family I got to take care of. He said, but it's a sacrifice that needs to be made. And you know what I said to him? Respectfully. I said, I understand that. But when I come back, I'm not sure what's going to be left for me, what I'm going to be able to come back to. So this is what I know I can do for me and my family. Right? And
this
to this day,
sacrifice.
To this day, thank God, both of my children are independent and successful. If I die tomorrow, I don't got to worry about how they're going to take care of themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Now, did I have a problem with contributing to the effort and what happened? Yes, but they didn't invite me to the table because I would have told them, don't come back. Can't none of y'all come back unless everybody gets something.
Right.
See, my brother told me they had buckets, man, and people have been putting $100 bills in the bucket.
Right.
Where'd that money go?
To the nation. To the organizer, like you said.
Hey man, I'm just listen. I said this earlier. I don't care if you white, black, green, purple, or the other. Ain't nobody gonna make a fool out of me, no more.
Right.
And don't you let nobody make a fool out of you. If you're gonna come out of your condition, you've got to make a move. Bust a move yourself. That's the only way it's gonna happen for you. Now others can help you, sure. But you got
to
do.
That's why, man. That's why I go to school and I try and I work, you know, and do everything I can to try to better fight for my brother and his rights. And because you got to do something, man. You can't feel powerless. You got to know you got power and use it.
So it's ignorance, respectfully, that causes people to become angry and subsequently depressed. They don't know what to expect or what to do. And the more you talk to them about doing, they become enraged and sensed with anger because they don't know what to do other than what's familiar to them in their immediate environment quite often. And that's drug dealing, hustling, gang banging, drinking, sexing it up, gambling, you know.
The endless
some
loop.
Of them are just, you understand what I'm saying?
Loop, man. The rat race.
Yeah. And so when we come to them, I'm suggesting today, here's the matter of hope. We got about 8 more minutes before we close out tonight. I'm suggesting that, again, I'm doing this again, COVID shut the churches down, black churches in the ghetto, right? And a lot of members now have decided, Lewis, hey, I can do something else with my time somewhere else. Because God couldn't even keep me safe. I'm telling you what people told me. They were disappointed in many preachers for not standing up stronger for God against COVID and shutdown.
Right.
White folks did that, but our people didn't. My point is this, is that post-COVID, the way you make ministry relevant in cities like Chicago and New York and Detroit and, again, Liberty City, Miami, Florida, New Orleans, and all these places, Baltimore, Maryland. The way you make, saw a little brother in Washington, D.C., a councilman, he's crying for the National Guard to come in and help him. I'm like, Jesus Christ. The way you make your ministry relevant, open them doors up. Open them doors up.
Right.
Open them doors
to everybody, because that's what the church is. It's a community.
It's
supposed to be.
I don't mean let nobody come in and tell you stuff up. But open the doors up and link yourself with, you can call me. If you don't know what to do, call me. What's my number? I'm going to give you the number off air. 615-942-6816. That's my office number. 615-942-6816. That's my office number. You don't know what to do. You listen to me right now, and you don't know what to do. You say, this dude just talking. He just runs. Call me. I double dare you to call me. I got something for you. If you don't want to, open them doors up. Open them doors up. In the name of Jesus.
But you'll be amazed who walks in, though. You'll be amazed who comes in. You'll be amazed who walk in the door, who's looking for somebody like you.
Yes, sir. In these last few minutes, let me share with you a real story. I did an African-American male summit back in 2008, right? And my church was right in the heart of the hood in North Nashville. And I understood that. I had cut a deal with a guy who I knew was a major figure on the streets with the substances and all that, right? And I said to him, I'm going to get together 12 men that are 60 years and older, and they're going to form, I'm going to have them form a panel, and I want you to bring all the shorties in the streets out so they can talk. He said, man, that blank, blank ain't going to happen. I said, I'm going to open the doors of the church to that. And I'm going to let these old guys know that they need to be quiet and listen to them. So I told the old guys, I said, my guy is going to fill this place up. And he did, Lewis. I mean, it was dunk in there, right? And the starters came and they smelled like the ooh-wee. They smelled like they've been in that ooh-wee, sleeping in the car with ooh-wee all night long, right? It was hot. I mean, it was kind of funky in there. And that was all right. I told them, bring them in there just like that. So they did. And I told old Kess, I said, listen, these young men need to hear from you all, and you all need to hear from them so that you can give them advice. Many of the old cats said to me, man, they ain't going to listen. Did you see where it was going? I said, listen, you just come, you be there. They're going to be there, and I'll facilitate. Man, at the end of the day, we broke them up in small groups. We had a good time, Lewis. And one of the young dudes stood up, and when we gave him the mic, he couldn't put it down, Lewis. The most powerful thing he said to me, the most powerful thing he said to me was, I like what we're doing in here, but even if we raise offering right now, it's going to be a fight over who gets to go home with the offering. I said, oh, my goodness. It was a lot of truth to what he was saying, though, Lou.
Right. But hey, Lucy was there. It was an open dialect, and y'all was having a good time, and it broke ground. Did you continue that, or is that something you should be looking into continue?
Well, a lot of the information that we did, I recorded some things on video, and other things I wrote down, and I put that in my workbook because we did subsequent seminars and workshops. And the idea was to take this information to the other 10 cities that we had identified that had similar characteristics. See what I'm saying? And there was some minimal success, but I realized this one thing. Unless there is continuity where you are in your city, in your state, in your ghetto, in other words, there are people that are committed to making sure it continues.
Right.
It can fall
on.
Right. One of the things I learned about black folk is they don't want you coming talking sweet stuff in their ear and you leave them all hot and bothered and you don't do nothing for them. That will make
them upset. You come and you leave. Like you talk to good talk and run off. That's
right.
That's the same thing as what you were saying about the Million Man March. Everybody got their coffin, you know, they want their offering.
Yep.
Take the bag and leave, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. The thief that robbed the town and run off with everybody. The medicine man that robbed the town, the music man.
So here's the
teach everybody, promise everybody a lesson. 10% to sign up. I'm going to pay for everything.
Right. I'm going to throw a rope out there. If you are white, if you're black, Italian, Greek, whatever ethnicity you are, Hispanic, and you really want to know about how you can change conditions in urban areas that are consistent with what we talk about with ghetto trap syndrome, right, where people feel like, a lot of young people feel like, I got to cut up, act the fool, and I got to hurt the next man out of fear that I think he may hurt me, call me, 615-942-6816. That's off the air. That's all. I'll be happy to share with you the information that we have because it's not about me. It's about we. Let me say it one more time. It's not about me. It's about we, what we can do. And there are a lot of people, Lewis, you've seen this. You get a big group together in meetings, and loud mouth folks, the loudest mouth get up and get to run their mouth. And usually nobody else gets to say anything. And they talking loud, and they ain't saying nothing. That's sad. That's what happened. Somebody need to sit down, be quiet, because if all you talking about was that, you would resolve this issue a long time ago. And usually those people are politicians or associated with it. I ran for political office, but I disassociated myself with the label of a politician. I identified myself as an advocate. I run as an advocate for people, not a politician. But nonetheless, we digress. Let me give you a final thought, Lou, because it's about time for us to cut out of here.
Oh, you want me to give it? Oh, yeah. 150 years, long enough. I think it's time to stand up.
Amen. Amen. I believe we will. I appreciate your participation here, and I think it's going to get better. I sense that some people are afraid to make another move because many have been shut down and canceled and what have you. But we're not going to ever stop till we're dead.
Right. Got to seek results to get them, man. And I'll be here next week.
Yeah, I'll be here. And let's try to keep on trying to bring some with us.
Yes, sir.
We're going to close out. You've been listening to Straight Talk. Talk Straight, 13th Amendment and the Urban American Ghetto. That's been our topic on this August 8th, 2023. I'm going to end with the rest of Freedom Fingers. Woke up this morning with my mind. We'll be back next Tuesday unless the Booger Man creeps rides and gets us. All right? We'll be back next Tuesday. Talk Straight. Thank you, my friend, and we will see you all then.
Stop.